So a series of recent filings from the Securities and Exchange Commission levels some new accusations, possibly charges, against executives at mortgage lenders Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. The SEC claims executives misled investors about Fannie and Freddie's exposure to subprime mortgages in the 2 years leading up to the housing market collapse. Well, the SEC's charges seem a little misguided to our next guest, Joe Nocera, op-ed columnist for our partner, The New York Times. Getting everyone in America to own a home was the mission for the government, the banks, the entire private sector back before 2007, until it suddenly wasn't the mission. Fannie and Freddie didn't throw this party, according to Joe Nocera, even though the SEC seems to want to pin it on them. Joe Nocera joins us now. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, John. It's not just the SEC that wants to pin it on them. You know, the whole Republican mantra is that Fannie Freddie did it. Fannie Freddie did it. Fannie Freddie did it.
Now, you wouldn't describe them as completely blameless here. You just take exception to these kinds of charges.
Well, yeah, it's a tricky position. It's an odd position for someone like me to be in. I've been a stiff critic of Fannie and Freddie for years, certainly in their heyday when they ran roughshod over Washington and really steamrolled anybody in their way. But, you know, what has happened subsequently since the housing crisis is that Democrats have really wanted to blame everything on business. Republicans have wanted to blame everything on government. Fannie and Freddie are sort of the housing representatives of government. So it's an easy charge to make that they're the ones who led us off the path. But the reporting that Bethany McLean and I did in our book, All the Devils Are Here, how about that for a plug?
Good.
It really shows that not to be true.
And I mean, essentially what you're saying here is that the logic of who to blame here really puts the cart before the horse, or whatever metaphor you want to use. It's kind of like blaming the caterers for the fiasco at the Kardashian wedding.
That's pretty much correct. The great irony about Fannie and Freddie, John, they ultimately did buy and guarantee a lot of subprime loans. But they followed the private market into the business, and they did so because they were desperate. They were losing market share so quickly they felt like they had no other choice. So to say, as the Republicans say, that Fannie and Freddie is the root of it completely turns it upside down. And then for the SEC to say that, oh, we're going to charge these guys for lying about their subprime is almost beside the point, and besides which, the case that they actually make isn't a very good one.
Well, let's look at the economics here, because when you get deep into some of the economic trends that were prevailing at the time right before 2007, you really see that these SEC charges, not only do they miss the point, but they also don't correct anything. I mean, if we were to hold these people accountable, it's not going to prevent things from happening next time around. Explain how, in a huge demand sort of tsunami, when all the banks are doing these kinds of mortgages, it's almost impossible for a Fannie or a Freddie or even a Citibank to stay out of the fray.
Well, that's very true. In the case of the big banks, that, you know, it's the famous Chuck Prince line, as long as the music's playing, I've got to dance, or something along those lines, by which he meant even if he knew that disaster was going to ensue, they were making so much money in it now, and everybody in the investing universe was expecting to do this, that they would have been murdered if they'd done anything else. So in the case of Fannie and Freddie, don't forget, in addition to having this mandate to help make housing affordable for middle class and lower income Americans, they were also a corporation that had to maximize profits. Countrywide alone, the percentage of loans that were guaranteed by Fannie and Freddie at Countrywide went from something like 75% to 25% over the space of 3 years. That's because Countrywide was making subprime loans that Fannie and Freddie felt uncomfortable with. So ultimately, Fannie and Freddie said, oh my God, we're doomed if we don't get into this business. So they felt like they had no choice.
What were the various categories of loans as you look back to those years? What is a subprime loan and what is a conventional 30-year fixed?
Right. Well, this is part of the problem here. How do you define a subprime loan? You know, there is this whole category of loans called Alt-A, alternative loans. They're not 30-year fixed. but many of the borrowers are prime borrowers with FICO scores in the 680, 700, 720, you know, but they're getting an adjustable rate mortgage with low documentation. If you bought a mortgage, John, you or I, in 2006 or 2007, we would have had one of those mortgages. Is that subprime? You know, the definition of subprime actually changed over time. And then ultimately, there were lots of loans that was, there's no question, you know, no doc, no income, no this, no that, with trigger interest rates that came after 2 years. Obviously, those were subprime. But there's whole other categories where you really can't say what exactly it is.
Boy, those were the days, huh, Joe?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, they sure were.
It's far.
I bought a house after 2008, and boy, I had to put up my first child as collateral.
Exactly. I mean, back then you could just load the houses in a shopping cart and just sort of roll down the street doing the paperwork later on.
Right. And they would tell people who had good white-collar jobs, oh, we don't need your documents. You're fine. We know you have this job. So fine. Get in the fast countrywide fast and easy program. Is that a subprime loan?
Approved over the phone. You don't hear that much anymore. All right. So finally, is this ultimately a story of when you're Fannie and Freddie, you can't both satisfy investors who want profit and pursue a mission of home ownership for every American? They're just incompatible.
They always were incompatible. And, you know, sadly, the critics who said they were incompatible at the time, you know, really got nowhere. But the truth is, Fannie put profits over the affordable housing mission. For many, many years, they would game the mission for their own profits. And ultimately, you know, it came back to haunt them.
And these charges from the SEC miss that much greater point. You can read about it in the New York Times. Op-ed columnist for our partner in the New York Times has been with us for the last few minutes. Jonah Sarah, thanks so much. Have a great holiday.
Hey, you too, John. Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.